This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to another Pitt Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host. I definitely don't want to wait for another, Pitt game on Saturday. And yes, I'm starting off with the theme music from Dawson's Creek because that's the first thing we think about when we think about the CW. Well, that was the first thing that, we all thought of, when we were told this game was going to be on the CW was that, there's One Tree Hill. That was a pretty popular one. I'm sure there's plenty of other games, but, oh, wait a minute. The Network Rings release of this game. Let me see here. Let's see. The River City Robert drew a .32 rating but and 617,000 viewers. I guess it's not that bad. It was actually at number 18 for week 2. I guess they finished in the top 20 for ratings. So pretty interesting. 617,000 people watched it. I'm sure more people would have watched it if it was, if the CW was actually on some sort of network. Well, if you have cable, I'm sure you could have watched it. I don't. I have Sling TV. I had YouTube TV, but the price on that just kept going up and up, and I kind of was just like, yeah, no. And I was thinking about getting the Sunday ticket. In fact, with Sunday ticket now, you can get it as a monthly fee now instead of paying that whole $300-something. My guess is when they came out with Sunday ticket, or I could be wrong about this. Maybe I read it all wrong, but it felt like when it was released, you had to pay it all at once, and I just wasn't going to do that. I'm sure I would have paid a little extra for that, but there's also a pro and con to this is that you're dumping all this money in the Sunday ticket. And you have to watch, the shit show of a game that you saw on Sunday against the 49ers. It's, you wonder, I spent all this money and here I am watching, the Steelers playing really bad. And that's, you have to look at the cost. If you're that hardcore of a fan, there's the hardcore fan, there's the sensible fan. The hardcore fan is the one that's going to buy whatever. They're going to go on, let's say, how can we word this? The hardcore fan is going to be the one person that, that they're going to dump their money into, into that team no matter what, Whereas a sensible fan will say, do I really want to pay, this much money for a Sunday ticket to watch the Steelers go 9-8 this year and have a very underwhelming season? Or can I just, you know, watch it on a legal stream, but watch on SportsSurge.net would be the place to go. Or there's that SportsFire TV that I found, that app where you can install it on your Fire Stick. And I was the first day of college football, or the first week, no, the second week when all the games were on, I was actually considering, I was watching SportsFire, but I got tired of the problem with that SportsFire TV is, although the game, you're watching games for free and stuff like that, you don't know what feed you're going to get. And a lot of times that feed keeps disconnecting and slowing and refreshing. And after a while, I just got tired of it. And I was like, let me just go on and just do a free, do that $20 first month of Sling. And then Sling isn't bad. It just seems like there is a lot of channels, and it seems like it's all over the place, though. And of course, the game that you want that may not have on there, you may have to go to freaking Peacock, then freaking Amazon Prime, and Paramount TV or Paramount Plus. I mean, it's absolute freaking nuts, what the streaming stuff is these days. You may have YouTube TV, but you may have to go to freaking Peacock to watch something. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of trade-offs with a lot of it. But yeah, I mean, the sensible fan, they're sensible with their money. They love their team, but they're sensible. Hardcore fan, they're going to dump their money into things. They may go to the home field apparel and spend $50 on a t-shirt that they probably got for $20 somewhere else. Which, that's what happened to me. I mean, I saw home field had like Topps baseball, those wax pack t-shirts, the t-shirts of the wax packs from back in the day. And they were selling for like 30, 40 bucks. I think I just went on like Teespring and got the same exact one for probably $10. I'm going to wear it and it's going to wear out anyway. Anyways, I went from talking Pitt Cincinnati to going through all the sensible fans and television stuff. That sounds about right. That sounds about on par for the course for me. I'm not going to get too much into this game, but I do remember saying in my preview that this is one game Pitt could lose. Although I picked Pitt last week to win. But I said things could definitely go wrong, and they did. I mean, this was another game where Pitt just, they came out flat in the first half, and then, second half, they woke up and it was too late. But I mean, the stats themselves are puzzling. I mean, we all know about Phil Jurkovic's performance in that game. His 10 of 32, I mean, that's, 33% completion percentage, and, 180 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, the yardage is nice, and so was the touchdowns. Some other concerns. I mean, Rodney Hammond is one of your best backs, and he gets only 6 carries for 21 yards. I mean, I'm trying to figure that one out. Kodana Mumfield had a nice game. Gavin Bartholomew had 3 catches for 8 yards. And I mean, of course, there were some drops as well. I mean, last week I thought, that these guys were on the same page. And Jerkovic, didn't get much help from the offensive line, and of course he got happy feet. And then the second half, Pitt roared back and they had that interception. If only that guy could have just ran that interception back for a touchdown, that would have been nice. That really would have been nice. That was Marquise Williams. If only he could have ran that back for a TD, that would have been great, because we would have been up 28-27 at that point. And, of course, we had that missed field goal early in the game, which it was a 42-yarder we missed. And that just amazes me how our kickers can nail kicks 50-plus in, winning conditions, but can't nail a freaking routine field goal. A routine kick that any, a pro can do. I mean, it was on the correct hash mark as well, and it just puzzles me that we can never – we can nail these, like these boom, they can boom 50 plus ones, you know, winning conditions, but just a regular field goal they have a hard time with. It just blows my freaking mind. It kind of feels like, you know, how the NBA is. Rather than go for the two, the guy just chucks up the threes. I don't know. I mean, in terms of stats, Cincinnati's quarterback was not impressive either. I think the big stat here was the running game. Cincinnati outrushed us 216 yards to 83. Basically, there seems to be something going on with our front line, and you know, it looks like our defense is going to regress. I mean, any team's going to look good playing against Wofford and Sean Watson. That's just, you know, that's just the reality of it, and that's just what happened. You know, everything that could have went wrong in the first half, and by the time Pitt woke up, it was too late. And the opportunities were there, but our quarterback had kind of a Ryan Leaf meltdown on his last drive, and you could tell by the way his body language was on the sideline. I've never seen Pat Narduzzi that beside himself on the sidelines ever. I mean, he had this look on his face like, yeah, we're fucked. We're not winning this game. I mean, I've never seen him like that ever. I mean, I've never seen him like, you know, just like slumped over and like, yeah, we're pretty much screwed. I mean, I don't know. It's just, we're in year two of this, and, you know, people blame Keaton Slovis for all this. You know, of course he did suck, but we're in year two of Frank Sinatra's offense, and we're, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't seem right. You know, I thought things looked better when Nick Patty was in with that UCLA game, but now it just, I don't know. But I mean, I looked at some of the highlights again, and some of it does look encouraging. I do think that Pitt's offense can clean some shit up. You know, maybe get their offensive line on the same page. Their entire offense back on the same page, clean some stuff up, maybe things could be a little better. Because there were some flashes there with this offense. But, you know, we need something that's very, 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 very consistent. And let's talk about the booing, because we got to talk about that. So Philly Jerkovic was upset over the booing. And I understand where he's coming from. I understand, you know, both sides of the argument. You don't want to boo college kids. It sucks. It sucks to see that. We saw Tyler Pelko booed. We saw Rod Rutherford booed. We saw both. I mean, those guys were booed. You know, those were two of them. And you know, things have changed a little. Well, they haven't changed a little bit. They've changed a lot with college sports. Players are getting NIL checks now. And some of these kids, I mean, they're not really kids. I mean, they're, you know, some are like, you know, in their early 20s. In Phil Jerkovic's case, you know, Phil Jerkovic is going to be 24 years old in November. In fact, he's 23. I mean, he's not really a kid. Or a quote-unquote college kid. And if anything, these guys are over 18. They're adults. And on top of that, they're cashing NIL checks. You know? So, if you're a fan and you're donating to the NIL and you're spending the tickets and the parking and things, I mean, you have every right to do what you want, except, you know, don't throw beer, your beer at, you know, from the stands on the field and things like that. But if you're going to, people are going to voice their displeasure because they're paying you now and you're playing like shit. I mean, on top of that, in Phil's case, he's a 6-year quarterback and he's going 10 of 32. You know, he's looking the way he is as a 6-year QB. Yeah, people are going to be mad. It's like, we're paying you on top of that, and this is what you do as a 6-year quarterback? I mean, when I was 23, I was out of college and I was working. I'm sure a lot of us were as well. I mean, we weren't quote unquote kids. We were adults. We were told you're an adult, you pay bills, you know, and whatnot. But yeah, I understand. It sucks to boo. It's I don't condone it, but at the same time, people are going to voice their displeasure. And on top of that, you know, there was this whole crap about amateurism and all this stuff, and players should be paid and this and that. And if they're cashing checks, they're professionals now. I mean, that's just how it is. You can't toggle the amateur professional thing when you feel like it's convenient for you. And on top of that, you're going to school for free. You're getting, you know, you're getting tutors. You're getting all kind of stuff. Free health. I believe they get free health care too, because when they get injured, you know, they can just go to the doctor. You know, they get plenty. I mean, they get plenty of perks. But let's get away from all that, and let's talk about what happened in the rest of the ACC last week. That was week 2, I believe. Louisville won their game against Murray State. That was an obvious one. Florida State destroyed Southern Miss. Notre Dame hammers NC State. Well, they did hammer them. Yeah, I think, well, they have Sam Hartman as their quarterback, too. North Carolina escapes against Appalachian State 40-34 in overtime. Yeah, I mean, that was a big win for North Carolina. Appalachian State's one of those schools you just don't want to schedule. Duke beat Lafayette 42-7. Miami hammers Texas A&M. Clemson beats Charleston Southern. Wake Forest won their game. Virginia Tech lost to Purdue. Yeah, Boston College barely beats Holy Cross. Virginia lost to James Madison 36-35. UVA was a touchdown underdog in this game, and well, I mean, they covered the spread at least, but yeah, UVA, they're gonna have some problems. Georgia Tech won, you know, Syracuse won, Pitt lost. So yeah, there were some wrinkles in the ACC from these teams. But as a Pitt fan, you're more concerned because, well, you got West Virginia this week, and Pitt fans aren't so much hyped about the brawl now anymore, and West Virginia fans always are. You know, so basically, West Virginia fans are saying, eat shit, Pitt, we're going to kick your ass on Saturday. And Pitt fans are now like, yeah, sure, whatever, hooray. I don't know. Okay, I'm seeing that the Alliance 412 talks about and Oakland Originals are excited to announce a partnership with Hunter Brothers Coffee, a retired veteran-owned company, to bring the 13-9 blend just in time for the Baccarat Brawl. We'll be bringing our first batch of Brushes and Beans Cafe in Murraysville starting at 3 o'clock. Go to Hunter Brothers Coffee to purchase your own bag of the 13-9 blend. Any purchase using the code 412 at checkout will benefit Alliance 412, the preferred and collective of Penn Athletics. Okay, it looks like I'm ordering coffee today. I love fresh roasted coffee. I roast my own coffee at home. At time, you know, I do have some beans still. But if you want some good fresh, I mean, if you're looking for fresh roasted coffee and don't want to go to those actual coffee houses, Target's a good place. At least here in Houston, I can go and I always check the roast dates on them to make sure it's, you know, it's fresh. But yeah, it looks like I'll be ordering some of this. Yeah, I'm going to order a whole bunch of this. Shit. because it's, I mean, it's right now it's, you know, it's $10 a batch. Yep, I'm doing that. As long as they if they ship to Texas, I'm happy with that. Shit, that's great. Yeah, I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to add some stuff to this. Well, all right, now let's get back to on topic here, because I talked about the coffee thing, but yeah, definitely order some. Looking at the rest of Pitt's schedule after all that's happened, I mean, yeah, it's so far it's concerning. I mean, Pat Narduzzi did take, you know, accountability for what happened, because West Virginia, obviously, Pitt's got to win this one. It's now a must win. North Carolina, that's going to be a bloodbath if they don't get their act together. Virginia Tech should be a win. Not really sure about Louisville now. Well, that's a toss-up. Wake is going to be a battle. Notre Dame's going to destroy us. Florida State's going to destroy us. Syracuse won't be an easy one either. Boston College should be a win. But they'll be at Duke, and Duke is looking good. So, I don't know. But, you know, whatever. Let's just fucking move on to the rest of the weekend. All right. Rest of the week, I mean, I did watch the Bama Texas game, you know, flip between Pitt and Cincinnati. That was, you know, pretty good. That was pretty much the game of the weekend, because it really wasn't much else worth writing home about. Yeah, pretty much. And let's move on to Pitt, West Virginia. Let's give, I guess I should give my preview of that. Now, this game's at West Virginia. And I mean, Phil Jurkovec is so upset over the booing that happened in Hines. He's going to go to Morgantown, where they're really going to fuck with him. I think the key for Pitt is they're gonna have to do what they did against the second half against Cincinnati. Get pressure on Garrett Green, force some turnovers, some picks. Hopefully Pitt's quarterback gets last game out of his head and all the booing, because Morgantown, they're just gonna pick on him. They're gonna screw with him. I'm hoping Pitt gets the ball into the hands of their playmakers some more. Ronnie Hammond in particular, because he had a nice game last year against West Virginia. And I'm seeing good things from Kanata Mumfield. So, and of course, get the ball into Gavin's hands as well. So, yeah, I'm not getting too in-depth into this. But West Virginia is probably feeling confident because they played Duquesne. Whatever. It's Duquesne. But let's take a look rest of the schedule for this weekend. Miami has a game against Bethune-Cookman tomorrow. Well, tonight, actually, because this is Thursday. They should win that one. UVA got Maryland on Friday. That's Maryland's a -14.5. Shoot, Maryland should win that one easily. They'll probably cover the 14.5. Florida State and Boston College, FSU should win that one. They'll probably cover that those 26 points as well. Depends on the weather, but yeah, I don't see, you know, BC getting close to that. Louisville and Indiana. Louisville's a -10 over Indiana? How's Indiana playing this year, though? Are they good? Let's see. They lost Ohio State 23-3 and beat Indiana State. I'm taking Indiana with the +10 on that one. Yeah, I don't know. That's a bit too much. Wake Forest, Old Dominion. Wake's a -14. I think they'll win that one. I think they'll win and cover that. NC State and VMI. NC State should win that one. North Carolina, Minnesota, and UNC is a -7.5 over Minnesota. And Minnesota's wins right now are Nebraska and Eastern Michigan. North Carolina should win that and cover. Duke and Northwestern, I gotta go with, definitely Duke. I think Northwestern covers the 18.5, though. Virginia Tech and Rutgers. Rutgers is -7. Yeah, I'm taking Rutgers in that one. Who's Rutgers played so far? Just Temple and Northwestern. Yeah, they should cover that 7, I think. Syracuse got Purdue. Q's a -2.5 on this one. They must really like Syracuse. I'll go with Q's. Pitt, West Virginia. West Virginia -1.5. I'm going with Pitt. You know, I'm going to ride with Pitt. And Clemson for Atlantic. Clemson -24.5 point favorite. I'll go Clemson. Anything in the rest of the eight, you know, top 25? Let's see. Is there any, what riveting games are in the top 25 this week? There's Penn State and Illinois. Brett Bielema against Penn State. And Drew Allar. I'm going with Penn State in that one. They're two touchdown favorite. No, James Franklin loves the cover, so he'll cover that. Anything else? Let's see. LSU and Mississippi State. LSU is a -9.5 point favorite. I'm going Mississippi State at home. I think they covered a 9.5. Maybe they lose, but they'll cover that 9.5. Anything else? Oh, there's Georgia, South Carolina. UGA should win that one easily. Anything else? Let's see if we scroll down. Michigan State got Washington this week. They'll get blown out. I'm sure Michigan State's breathing their brass is breathing a sigh of relief because they get to save all that money on that contract they gave Mel Tucker. I mean, of all things you could do, initiating, I guess, phone sex with a sex assault survivor probably wasn't a good idea. I mean, he could have just called like a $5 hotline and just did that. There's a lot of things that Mel Tucker could have done if he really, you know, because, you know, I know Mel Tucker's married and affairs do happen, especially with athletes, coaches, and regular folks like ourselves. But if you're Mel Tucker, I mean, he could have, if he really wanted to arrange some sort of affair, he could have went elsewhere and did this and not, I guess he went for, in Mel Tucker's case, maybe he went for the degree of difficulty. Maybe he wanted something more challenging. And I mean, he ends up losing his coaching job. And of course, he probably ends up losing his marriage as well. I mean, he lost more than just his job. I mean, his career's fucked and his marriage is fucked. I mean, you know, he lost a lot doing this. I think the key thing here is that if you're married, obviously you don't want to have an affair. That's not a good idea. I mean, if there's some issues or whatever, you work through them. That's why you take the vows. You know, you're partners. You work through things. That's what you do as partners. But I'm not sure what happened there. But I mean, there's more to come out about that. And he's battling this, so maybe, you know. I mean, regardless, I mean, if he's able to clear his name, regardless, he was still doing something, and, you know, he's going to lose something out of this no matter what. But the rest of the slate isn't too much to go on. And as we talk about the Steelers, that game was an obvious shit show. And I think really the Steeler team obviously isn't ready yet. I mean, but the thing is, when will they ever be ready? I mean,
if you're hovering around 9-8 or 8-1 or whatever for so long, and you haven't really done much in the playoffs, I mean, something's got to give there. And that's, you know, as far as Kenny goes, you know, I know that the second year for quarterbacks can be rough, but we had to see some sort of leap from him. I mean, he didn't play all that well. I mean, his offensive line wasn't great, but when the opportunities were there, he didn't, you know, he either threw a pick or he underthrew or missed, you know, he was inaccurate. But yeah, Kenny has to show some sort of leap. I mean, he has to show something. I mean, otherwise the Steelers will be back in the draft looking. I mean, I was told not to jump off a bridge over this, but I mean, it could be just San Francisco is just that good. And, you know, the Steelers just really aren't good yet. You know, it's hard to say, but it was. If you're a Pitt fan and a Steelers fan, it was a miserable weekend. That's all I'm going to say about that. Well, let's hope for a better weekend, guys. Let's hope Pitt wins the brawl. Hell to Pitt.